Welcome to Checkpoint Real Talk, a podcast for security folks who want less FUD and more FUN. In each episode, we'll have lighthearted conversations about security, people, processes, and technology as we react to how they're portrayed in film and TV. We'll bring in experts from inside and outside Checkpoint to break it down. What was accurate? What wasn't? And what can you apply to real-world cyber events? On today's episode, host Sia Yasotorat, Checkpoint Head of Engineering East US, Mark Ostrowski, and Atlantic Data Security Cybersecurity Evangelist Eric Anderson react to the movies Oceans 8 and 13. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome back to Checkpoint Real Talk, where we check out some movies, TV shows, and we decide, hey, is it real? Not real? Is it possible? Probable? And this week, we are super excited because we are doing something slightly different. We're looking at two different scenes from the movie Oceans 8 and Oceans 13. So if you're a big fan of the Oceans franchise, I think you'll know why we picked these certain scenes. There was a ton to choose from. So I know because we did our little prep call together, we could do this forever, but I had to limit down to two because they do talk a lot. So those people I'm referencing, Mark and Eric, welcome to Checkpoint Real Talk.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, now's not the time to be shy, you two, because we have a lot to talk about.
We do.
So, okay, full disclosure, yet again, isn't this the funniest thing? I see this every episode, and I'm starting to – I used to think I was like a pop culture reference person, but I have not seen an Oceans movie.
Yeah. Well, I was saying I opened when we talked earlier – I love the Oceans movies. I mean, I'm a junkie. There's only a few genre of movies that I like. I've probably seen these movies every holiday weekend because they play them over and over and over again. So I've seen them hundreds of times probably.
Wait. I just like movies in general. So when there's a franchise that's all decent, I'll jump onto it. I won't watch franchise over and over, but certain movies I definitely do. And these I've seen a couple times now.
So this is a family friendly holiday movie for all.
Franchise? I think so.
Yeah. Kinda.
Huh. Who'd have thunk? Okay. Well, I know the 1960s version was like, it was an excuse for the Rat Pack to film in Vegas, right? Was that basically the gist of it? Like for them to party out there?
It seems like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Two months of filming, probably.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wonder how it was financed to some degree by those in Vegas, too. To be like, hey, come on out to the desert.
Well, they used real casinos. They didn't protect the names of the innocent. There were five actual casinos, four of which I think still exist.
Oh, wow. Well, those two were owned by the mob back then. I think they were blatant about it, too, weren't they? Like, this is a mob-owned joint. Like, you don't mess around.
I think so. I think they were kind of instilling in viewers that don't try to do this. Don't do this at home. We're professionals. Leave it to.
Well, I was watching some scenes from the 60s, which didn't make the cut, guys. So highly recommend it. Everyone will want to watch it. You should check it out. But there was like the heist scene clip that I saw. And I thought it was really interesting because for that one, they actually cut the power. So they actually affected the grid. But they did it old school style, which is they literally knocked down a power like –
explosives.
Thing, yeah. Right. Okay. So let's fast forward. Help me understand real quick. So there's Oceans 8 and Oceans 13. I saw Oceans 8 clip first, which I thought was fascinating because I think it's the later movie, right? It's the women. Yeah. No, it's a women's heist.
The most recent. Yeah. And that's what's kind of crazy. When you look at the franchise, I mean, Oceans 13 was 2007. I mean, that's like not like yesterday. Right. So like 11 and 12 are, you know, obviously even older, but, you know, 8 obviously being the most recent. So probably the most, I don't know, Eric, would you agree? Probably the most, if you're thinking about IT and hacking and technology, it's probably the most up to date because 2007 was 2007. I mean, it's a little bit ago.
Well, I think if you look at the whole five movie franchise, they've gotten progressively more tech. Yeah. Obviously, I mean the one that most of us know with where Clooney took over for Frank Sinatra, in the Danny Ocean role in 2001, I think was that Ocean's 11 most of us were introduced with, very low technology involvement, just a little bit. They refer to some things here, but they're not using computers to break into the casinos. Yeah. Well, that's not how you would have done it 20 years ago.
Slightly off topic, but even Ocean's 11, that scene where they tap the Ethernet cable with to intercept like the video, they pick up a handheld TV with an antenna. I mean, it's like, because you get thinking.
And it's a little device about this big that just, vampires onto a Cat 5 cable.
That's crazy. I mean, that's
instant video feeds.
Well, that would be like the physical form of Man in the Middle, though, wouldn't it? Like literally
would be that. And I think it's funny how, I mean, again, if you think about the timing on that, that was a long time ago, right? So like, it's interesting to see how the technology evolved, and how we ended up at Ocean's 13 was interesting as well, because it's starting to push that envelope of like, they talked about AI right in the first scene, right? Like almost the first couple of scenes. Yeah. So it's interesting. Yeah.
But in 13, as we'll see, there's actually a very good example of a very realistic breach.
Yeah.
With one or two little things that aren't so real, but in general, it's much more true to form because people are smarter. Yeah. People, even average consumer that isn't in this industry, knows more and knows when Hollywood is being Hollywood.
Yeah. Super interesting.
Yeah, no, I like the way I've always felt like Hollywood and technology, they do go hand in hand in a lot of ways, right? Like you think of Hollywood as being entertaining, but they offer a lot of vision, a lot of visionary stuff that probably already exists. I mean, to a large degree, is already discussed. I would like to think there are some futurists out there that have already discussed it, but the fact that Hollywood puts like pen to paper and puts it on camera, does it on camera even like exist anymore? Because isn't everything on digital camera? I mean, not film. I don't know. Is anything film don't film anymore?
Yeah.
It's a good.
Not probably much. Not a lot. I mean,
It probably becomes like a niche thing, right? Like we're going to film on film. Right.
Well, you get Christopher Nolan and his big productions without special effects that he likes, the big film and it still does things that digital can't.
Kind of unrelated to what we're going to talk about. But even like when you go to technology, we talked about blowing up something like in the original movie. And then in the course of the Oceans franchise, you've got like magnetrons, you've got EMPs. Like, so you're right. Hollywood kind of throws these things that actually exist. But does it really work like that in real life? You know, can you back up a van with an EMP and knock out Vegas? Maybe. I don't know. But so it's fun to actually see how they portray it on TV.
You take a little artistic license, but to your point earlier, even prior to Hollywood, it was in science fiction novels. It would drive technology and invent things that didn't exist, and then eventually you look back and say, "Wow, Bradbury predicted this."
To geek out for a second, I mean, AI, think about the reality of generative AI. We're only like 11 months into it. And this movie, Ocean's 13, was 2007. And they're talking about Greco and AI and, pulling people's, eyes and their emotions and their temperatures and using that and big data to create this like, this is a real response. Think about how forward thinking that was in 2007 compared to here we sit in 2023 when ChatGPT came out in December of last year. So it's a lot of creative, things moving. So it's
I'm not coincidentally wearing a shirt that's like a spoof on the blue screen of death. But it's actually Hal's tirade when AI has become sentient and says, "I'm sorry, Dave, I'm afraid I can't do that."
I love that. I do love that line. And I think I say that line probably weekly to clients. Some get the reference, some do not.
Fewer and fewer get the reference every year that goes on.
Adopt it. Anyway, okay, guys. Well, hey, are you guys ready for the first one?
Sorry, sir. I tried to stop him.
Not your fault, sweetheart.
You can't
stop a man
who jumped.
36 greyhounds
into inn. It's all right, Lucille.
Oh, is that like Evel Knievel guy?
Mr. Bank, do you know what Chuck Berry said every night before counting 1, 2, 3, 4?
What did he say?
Pay me my money.
Well, I'm sure my people will be...
in cash.
Cash?
You've already been wired the money.
Mr. Bank, this is Offender Rhodes' moment.
You in yet?
Why do I feel like...
Yeah, this is the best part.
So these are the hacker guys. Oh, okay.
Miss Bank, listen, all due respect, sir. You got a job tomorrow, running this place. You go to work every day.
Oh, yawn. I make one phone call, I get Sean White, Travis Pastrana, five of their buddies here before midnight, doing heel clickers and lazy boys up the back of the building.
Yes. If your audience wants to see a bunch of long hairs riding rice rockets, but I'm talking about heavy bike, sir. This is heavy bike. Fender Rhodes is a... I'm a goddamn American icon.
Don't change it that much. Keep the structure.
I'm trying to make you taller. Just want to be taller? I'm in 34 states.
An animal in the other 34. 24. 22.
This is a night people will talk about as long as they're in Las Vegas. And when they're talking about it, they'll either be talking about you or they won't. Now, that's your choice.
Mr. Bank, can I just say one more thing?
Okay.
Are you gonna jump?
Okay, guys. I think. Okay, there's so much in this scene right here that I have to talk about. Number one, was he downloading something, or they just got into his machine like some RDP style? Was the Al Pacino character?
Bank, Mr. Bank.
Yeah.
It was actually illegally tapped into the FBI's database for his own security purposes. So he was already breaking the law to set it up. And they knew this. So they knew he would go verifying the identities of these potential perpetrators, and they needed to help make sure that he couldn't identify them. So Cheadle went in with a great distraction while they,
In great, great Hollywood fashion. Pan to the keyboard, right? And then they're in there starting to like change the visuals live, and on the FBI database remotely from that's the part, it goes back to what we just talked about, like that generative AI has only been around for X number of years. Certainly, I mean, Eric, I don't know, in 2007, I don't think it was really even talked about. It probably existed, but wasn't talked about. And here we are in 2007, changing faces live on a remote session on a hacked FBI communication. I mean, that's the part that...
With the keyboard. He wasn't using the mouse to like drag the hair to change the size. It was all keyboard to quickly modify their faces.
Your observations on that is really funny, because I was just thinking in 2007... what's that one? Tomb Raider was still very much like that wonky, almost like Minecraft level. Like, it was starting to get a little bit better, but it was not nowhere near of these morphing faces that you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, gosh, I mean, the CGI even like was still kind of really infancy level, wasn't it still? Like 2007?
Well, at least what it could do quickly. Yeah. You know, even when you were generating movies with CGI, it was taking, hours to generate a couple seconds of a scene.
Yeah. And that's the part that, again, when you go backwards 15, whatever number of years, like here we are in a time in 2023 where you could use generative AI to change faces and features. But to do that live and to do that with a keyboard and to do that remotely, I mean, going back to 2007, it's outrageous. But again, the vision that we just talked about in Hollywood, I mean, that this is, it's becoming more and more reality as we kind of go through the years. But it's a great scene. It's a great scene.
Okay. So
I think they key on things that they know might be possible or are possible to some small degree. Yeah. And they just exaggerate and expand it.
Well, they make it pretty.
Yep.
You have to.
And it furthers a narrative. I'm catching what you're pitching, guys. But again, I need to understand from a reality perspective, because it's been like I've been out of the cybersecurity game for many decades, if you will. But but not tech, just to clarify. You don't have to be dangerous. But the idea that you're RDPing into this remote, you know, this laptop, and you're doing a session, I guess you could see what they're doing because it's on your desktop that they're keying into, right?
Yep.
But is it really an RDP, or isn't it, or is it they hacked into his laptop that's hacking into the FBI? They didn't go into FBI directly, correct? So it's like tunnel correct. Within a tunnel within another tunnel. I mean, that's just fantastical. Like, how could you possibly, is it showing that fundamental weakness where that's the weakest link and that's it? Is that still a problem in cybersecurity today, or is that not possible?
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. And yet it wasn't that bank had legitimate access. Bank had illegal access, but they knew that. So they piggybacked over his access. He was the weakest link because, and you know, in truth, if he was able to somehow get access, they could have probably done the same thing, but it was more interesting to show them hacking bank instead of hacking the FBI.
And think about all the layers that we know, Eric, in, you know, in cybersecurity. Think about the casino itself, what they have in place, right? Firewalls and threat prevention, and then on the endpoints, and then think of all the infrastructure that literally Hollywood bypassed for a scene in like 10 seconds, right? Like, because we, you know, right before, prior to that scene, you know, they're not doing this hack or this remote RDP session. They're doing something else, and all of a sudden the laptop comes up. And they're already in. So think about all those layers of cybersecurity that were bypassed, authentication and intrusion prevention and endpoint and the gateway itself. Are they coming in remotely? Because they actually were coming in from a tunnel, right, underground, which is another thing you don't even think about. So they had to come in from underground, get a connection, get through the security of the casino, get to his desktop, and then start doing all of the CGI type stuff. So like you think about it in real life, it's way more complicated than just here it is.
And yet there's a really cool point here that's made very subtly, that even with all of that exaggerated digital, you know, electronic hacking, there still was an essential social element, which was Don Cheadle's character distracting him so he couldn't see this while they were making
that's
the
an
changes.
Awesome point.
And without that social piece, the whole thing wouldn't have worked.
Okay.
Yeah.
Again, yes. And it's funny because he's like, okay, so that laptop's behind him facing outward. If I'm hacking into the FBI, you think my monitor is going to be facing outward for the rest of the world to frack it? It's going to be right in front of me.
I mean, and my office door is going to be unlocked. Yeah. So this entertainer, you know, Evel Knievel guy can come walking in.
Well, it seems to me like quite a few people have the opportunity to barge into Mr. Bank's office because like his like executive assistant doesn't seem to do a very good job, because I think I've seen other scenes where she's like, I'm sorry. And it's like, girl, what? Trip them or something like how are you getting past? And like, it's such an elaborate setup too, but anyway, I digress.
Well, and yet later in the movie, their physical security doesn't even let them get out of their data center when they need to, when they're under attack. It's a whole different scene where they're physically locked in somewhere. So locks are very Hollywood convenient.
Okay. So the other question, it wasn't shown in this clip. I have to ask before you move on, but the hackers that were in there, they had to go into the tunnels. Did they actually hardwire in, or is this over Wi-Fi? Because it doesn't actually show. I'm just curious, because then at what speed of like this Wi-Fi connection with all those metal in the tunnel, like that's your own natural what, Faraday cage or something?
Yeah.
Like, I was curious.
Yeah.
Did they show that they hardwired in?
I'm pretty sure they were underground, right, Eric, in that scene, right? They were underground with that drill.
But there's racks too. There's racks of equipment and, you know, lots of wires around. So I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt that they actually plugged in.
Yeah, they were hardwired. Yeah. As they were boring a hole to create an earthquake simulated for the bank hotel. Totally realistic.
Well, never mind. There's other scenes where they rig slot machines easily.
Yeah, yeah.
Somehow they very easily rig slot machines to hit a progressive. Yeah. And yet that's not the easiest way to steal the casino's money. It's drilling underground and EMPs and other fun things.
Yeah.
Magnetrons.
I mean, you can hack into a slot machine though, right? As long as anything's got an IP address, I'm assuming everything's vulnerable and up for potential hacking. No?
Yeah. I mean, I think, well,
if it was that easy, everyone would do it.
Well, I think it goes back to what we talked about before. Like in reality, you know, I'm sure you treat casino slot machines like critical infrastructure. It's not going to be something that's going to be accessible by everybody. So you take that Hollywood license. Yeah. I mean, it becomes more possible in Hollywood because mysteriously they're already connected in there. But in reality, there's a lot of measures put in place and a lot of things that would have to be bypassed in order to get into a slot machine. But
well, even with the slot machines, there was a very analog defense there, which was analysis of the winner, because once the woman hit, because the 13, the Ocean's 13 didn't win. They set it up so the next player would win the progressive as a distraction. Right. And when she wins, they immediately cut to video footage of her. And they're presumably a CISO type character played by the late, great Julian Sands starts analyzing this video saying, nope, her pulse is normal. She's not sweating. And he judged her very quickly to be a legitimate winner and not scamming the casino.
General. I think they use a term like genuine emotion or something like that. It was like, it wasn't somebody who expected to win, but that, you know, again, it's like, that's, you know, I keep on saying it, but this is a long time ago. But you think about AI today, it's the same stuff, right? It's like, it's a lot of how many pieces of data can you bring in, then use the algorithm to be able to determine whether it's genuine or not. And then you have to have the human element that interfaces with that to make the reaction. So Hollywood's way ahead of its time. What cracks me up though, I'm totally unrelated to the scene we just talked about. But when they show AI in Hollywood, they always show like LED lights, like almost like Kit in Knight Rider, right? The sequencing of LED lights. That's AI. You know, it's like, it cracks me up. Like, that's what we need to be able to see to say that it's like artificial intelligence. So it's
you know, I forget about Kit as one of the early AIs.
Yeah, true. Very true.
Knight Industries 2000.
and fairly sentient, right? Because it was very aware of itself too. Michael.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It was automated driving before Tesla was even close.
We're totally dating ourselves, by the way, talking about Knight Rider.
I do that all the time.
If you don't know it,
Bradbury.
Go check it out. Knight Rider was a lot of fun, and you'll get to see David Hasselhoff at its peak. Yeah.
The Hoff.
It almost looks like a Tesla, like that modified Firebird. I mean, if you think about it, it's kind of got that same, you know, sort of. I don't know. Yeah. Anyways.
The Hoff with his shirt on.
I just love that even today, like, they went with a British actor to do the voiceover. Like, even back then, they're like, oh, yeah, the British accent's more, you know, palatable versus, like, a New York Bronx accent or something. You know,
smarter that way. Yeah. It's smarter that way.
All right, guys. Oh, my God. We can keep going. But I definitely want us to hit up this next one because I think it's so cool. And it's Rihanna.
Yeah.
Come on, people. I think it was her acting debut, I guess. And she gets to be a hacker of all things. So
she nails it.
Great.
Are you guys ready?
Great scene.
This is Ocean's 8. And, I mean, yeah, check it out. So are you guys ready to go?
Ready.
She's in a coffee. Or is she in a bar? She's in a bar.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I love the realism of this. They're actually showing the true anatomy of a breach is let's find a target, find someone who might have access we need.
Yep.
Then stalk them on socials.
Yeah. I mean, these are things we talk about all the time. Like, this is what we warn people not to do, is to give too much information on public pages, because it just turns into a bad situation when you're targeted.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I love the stickers on the laptop. I love that. I love hackers always have stickers on the laptop.
Yes. You want to go incognito and not be identified as a hacker, just go with a clean laptop.
Interesting. So,
sticky notes.
No idea.
Oh, look at sticky note with passwords on the laptop. Oh, there it is. See, there they are. There's the sticky note.
Oh, but they don't even target his password in this. This is just a spear phishing.
Can I make a comment? Did you see that, guys? He has a webcam.
Yep.
In 2007.
Oh, yeah. We're going to see it in a second. Now Rihanna has his webcam. Excuse me, Nine Ball.
Oh, there it is.
Her character. And instantaneously after he clicked the link in her
and the realism of this scene is that this is exactly this is totally doable. This is actually how it works, you know, the targeting, the spear phishing, you know, using social media to find out characteristics of people. This is how it works.
And she now owns his computer, but then waits till he leaves, goes home for the night, and immediately, as soon as he turns off the lights, rather than waiting maybe until 2 a.m, she immediately goes poking around his machine. There's a little bit of Hollywood in a second, but because she doesn't have his password, she just has his machine. She's got a remote access to his device, but now she needs a password and she doesn't have it. And this is where this Hollywood, is Hollywood has a little fun.
Yeah. By the way, she's home now.
Yes. Yeah. Well, because she had to wait for him to go home too, so it was a few hours later. But she uses this little device remotely to somehow brute force his password.
I know. I love that.
I want to know how. I don't know where that came from. And the whole reason is to be able to monitor and potentially reposition security cameras at the Met.
So, okay. So let's talk about this, because that to me, I think has been done and will be done. I actually watch short videos on YouTube of this like hack. I don't know if it's Facebook or YouTube or TikTok. I don't know what it is. I don't do TikTok, but it's like a group that goes after scammers. And they video them and they capture them. Like, these people will be like in bed and like scamming people and whatnot.
Yeah.
So this is back in 2013, you said, right? Ocean's 8. So it's been 10 years.
2018.
Oh, 2018. Okay.
I think so. Yeah, 2018. I could be wrong, but.
You're right. 2018.
Still. It's still a while ago.
Stop that.
But yeah. No, I mean, I think to your point, I mean, this is. You know, this is almost like every day. This is what people in cybersecurity were warning people about and have been warning people about. You don't have a webcam that, you know, is in your office that has, and then have the picture of all of your security camera locations on the wall, a sticky note on the, you know, with the password probably on their screen, you know, social media sites that have information that you use for a spear phishing attack, you know, all those things, you know, these are all the warnings that we tell people not to have around. Not to mention they don't show all of the infrastructure that was bypassed to get to this person's, of course, it's like, it just go straight to the scene. I'm taking over.
But even then, presumably he had outbound internet, which is how he got that notification and clicked the link. And that's the realism in this, is if you're not protecting your outbound traffic as well. Right. And that's how this connection was actually initiated, from him outbound to her.
And then being on a corporate network and having access to Facebook and using non-corporate accounts. Like, these are things too that, you know, a lot of organizations don't allow. This particular case, it's, you know, super, super wide open. And this is
on a machine that has access to the security cameras. And yet the simplest fix for this would have been MFA. Because you see that the password she needed was just a single password that she was able to brute force in seconds with some mystery device.
Over the real ear. That's the part that cracks me up. They put this device next to the screen. All of a sudden, like over the air, it brute forces their password. Right.
Even just all the attempts at all those thousands and hundreds of thousands of passwords would take time to transmit.
Oh my gosh. You
never mind, lock them out eventually. But to Mark's point, I think that this is very realistic. Even it was Kevin Mitnick did similar things in the 90s, the original social engineer from a cyber perspective, from a data perspective, where I think one of his was trying to get source code for something so he could figure out how they were going to track him down. And he ends up figuring out who the director of the department is and ends up trying to find a number and get connected to that person. And I won't go down the whole story as far as I know it, but that ends up targeting a specific person that had the data he wanted. And got someone else to give him access into their stuff. Yeah. And it's maybe a little too soon, but this similar thing happened very recently in a couple of very well-known casino companies.
Yeah. I mean, social engineering, there's something we said. There was a couple scenes in there that I wanted us to go over. I was like, not enough time. But, I mean, it was in Ocean's 8 that I just saw. And I think it was Sandra Bullock's character. It wasn't technology oriented. It was just simply security practices, and it was just a glorious scene. So that guys, check it out. But she basically talked her way through all these different things and bypassed protocol processes. I mean, even just from a basic security perspective, like it was insane to watch and pretty impressive, but it also is a reminder. You have to have education, due diligence for the end users, right? Like you gotta know how to help articulate some concepts to people like my mom. And look, just because I was in the industry doesn't mean I'm not your end user from hell. I will click on anything my friends send me. I know better. I get it. But sometimes you just get relaxed. You just be like, oh, I trust you. Boop. And that's it.
Well, that's what technology and like cybersecurity, you know, products and solutions and architectures and platforms, you know, like that we have at Checkpoint. That's the safety net, right? The safety net is we're going to have that moment where we click on something. There's, you know, you're going to have that moment where social like engineering works. So you want to have that safety net, and that safety net is strong cybersecurity with good threat prevention and efficacy and all that kind of stuff. So when you look at the scene, Eric's is right on. Number one, if you had MFA turned on, even if we have this magical hacking password device that can do these mysterious things, you know, like that would have stopped this whole attack from even happening. So, you know, I think that's the beauty of strong and the best security is it prevents those oops moments. So that even today in 2023, that's the realistic part of it. If you put some of these layers of security in place, Eric, you don't have the cameras, you know, on a network that's attached to the guy's computer that's on his desktop. Like that bypasses that. You have segmentation and zero trust. Like these are things that this is what we do, all we do. So we can stop these things from happening, even with the best Hollywood, you know, creativity going at it.
Yeah. And yet life imitates art. And again, we looked recently, 5 years after that movie, this has happened in the last few months. Yeah. And it showed the casinos, you don't need to get on site and use magnetrons and EMPs and drill holes under a casino to hack it. Yeah. It can be done from another country.
It's probably happening right now. That's the stark reality is that the spear phishing attack and an execution probably around holiday scamming and, you know, some type of like shopping deal is probably happening right now, probably using the same methods of this scene from Ocean's 8.
Well, and the targeted individuals in the actual successful recent casino breaches were help desk.
Yeah.
And educating the end user is one thing, but it was the help desk that ended up resetting MFA credentials for these attackers to be able to then gain access.
Yep.
And
so let me just clarify for those that are not technically oriented, multi-factor authentication, just, you've probably heard of single sign-on, multi-factor, just an additional way to check and authenticate.
Yeah.
So anyone that doesn't know, just throwing that out there. So guys, I knew this would be a lot of fun. And if you guys want to come back, please, I'd love to have you guys come back because clearly it wasn't even the tip of the iceberg. It was like a needle point. I mean, Ocean's franchise, I can see why you guys got into it. So if I may, because we have to go, on a scale of 1 to 10, guys, based on the two clips of the two different movies that we saw, how realistic do you think the Ocean's franchise is to technology?
You know, I think because of the I'll give you the, because of the fact that they're older movies. And now we're sitting here, you know, in 2023, I'll give them like a strong, like 8, 7.5, just because of, I think, you know, what they were trying to portray, you know, many, many years ago, today is more of a reality than it would have been in 2000, in the early 2000s. So I'll give them a 7.5 out of 8, out of 10.
Of course, technical people.
Yeah, I think I could. I hear you, and I mostly agree, but I think there's so much license taken with unrealistic stuff that it brings it down a little bit more for me. You know, there's a couple of pieces that are very realistic, but I'll only go 7.
Ah, 6.2? I thought you were going to give me 6.75. 6.75.
You guys,
I'll go with an irrational number instead.
Yeah.
You guys are seriously so much fun. I've had so much fun going over this with you, and by all means, if you guys want to come back, just hit me up and let me know, because you guys are a lot of fun to chat with. So
yeah, likewise,
anytime.
So on that note, guys, I want to give time back for folks to get back to real work and reality here. So thanks again for joining us, everyone. And we'll see you next time for Checkpoint Real Talk. That's a wrap on today's episode of Checkpoint Real Talk. If you like this video, hit that subscribe button and some of those other buttons to show us your appreciation. And if you want to learn more or have any questions, please let us know in the comments. We'll see you next time for another episode of Checkpoint Real Talk.